Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasamsi Janani Yata Vahaya Navani Granati Nara Aparani Tata Sarirani Vihaya Janani Anyani Sanyati Navani Dehi Vasansi Janani Yata Vihaya
Vasansi Janani Yata Vihaya
Navani Granati Naroparani Tatashari Rani Vihaya Janani Anyani Sanyati Navani Dehi
Anyani Sanyati Navani Dehi
Vasansi
Garments
Janani
Old and worn out
Yata
Just as
Vahaya
Giving up
Navani
New garments
Granati
Does accept
Nara
a man
Aparani
others
Tata
in the same way
Shamririrani
bodies
Vahaya
giving up
Janani
old and useless
Anyani
different
Sanyati
verily
accepts
Navani
new sets
Dehi
the embodied.
Translation
and purport
by His Divine
Grace Srila
Prabhupada.
As a person
puts on new garments,
giving up
old ones,
the soul similarly
accepts
new material
bodies,
giving up the
old and
useless ones.
Purport.
Change of
body by the
atomic individual
soul
is an accepted
fact.
Even the
modern scientists
who do not
believe in the existence
of the soul,
but at the
same time cannot
explain the source
of energy from
the heart,
have to
accept
continuous
changes of body
which appear from
childhood to
boyhood,
and from boyhood
to youth, and
again from youth
to old age.
From
old age, the
change is
transferred to another
body.
This has already
been explained in the
previous verse,
2:13.
Transference
of the atomic
individual
soul to another
body
is made
possible by the
grace of the
super soul.
The super soul
fulfilled the
desire of the
atomic soul
as one friend
fulfilled
the desire of another.
The Vedas,
like the Mundaka
Upanishad,
as well as the
Svetashvatara
Upanishad,
compare
the soul and the
super soul to
two friendly birds
sitting in the
same tree.
One of
the birds,
the individual
atomic
soul,
is eating
the fruit of the
tree,
and the other
bird, Krishna,
is simply
watching his
friend.
And these
two birds,
although they are
the same in
quality,
one
is captivated by
the fruits of
the material tree,
while the
other is simply
witnessing
the activities of
his friend.
Krishna
is the witnessing
bird, and
Arjuna is
the
eating
bird.
Although they
are friends,
one is
still the master
and the other is the
servant.
Forgetfulness
of this relationship
by the atomic
soul is the
cause of one's
changing his
position
from one
tree to another,
or from one
body to another. The jiva soul is struggling very hard on the tree of the material body, but as soon as he agrees to accept the other bird as the supreme spiritual master, as Arjuna agreed to do by voluntary surrender unto Krishna for instruction, the subordinate bird immediately becomes free from all lamentation. Both the Mundaka Upanishad 3.1.2 and Shvetashvatara Upanishad 4.7 confirm this. Samane vrikshe purusho nimagno nishaya shotati muhya mana jushtam yata pasya yadam misham ashamahimanam iti vita shoka. Although the two birds are in the same tree, the eating bird is fully engrossed with anxiety and moroseness as the enjoyer of the fruits of the tree. But if some way or other he turns his face to his friend, the Lord, and knows his glories, at once the suffering bird becomes free from all anxieties. Arjuna has now turned his face towards his eternal friend Krishna and is understanding Bhagavad Gita from him, and thus hearing from Krishna, he can understand the supreme glories of the Lord and be free from lamentation. Arjuna is advised herewith by the Lord not to lament for the bodily change of his old grandfather and his teacher. He should rather be happy to kill their bodies in the righteous fight, so that they may be cleansed at once of all reactions from various bodily activities. One who lays down his life on the sacrificial altar in the proper battlefield is at once cleansed of bodily reactions and promoted to a higher status of life. So there was no cause for Arjuna's lamentation. Vandeham. Shri Guru Shri Jata Vada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghana Tanvita Damsa Jiva Sadvaita Savadu Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for blessing us with this wonderful purport to help us understand the sublime knowledge of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So here we are changing garments. Actually, we're doing it right now. This very minute is we're hearing this class. We are changing bodies. At every second, the old blood corpuscles are dying and new blood corpuscles are taking their place. So there's a constant change going on here. You see. Just like in the river, you see, the water molecules are flowing, 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 flowing. Just like in the U.S., we have the great Mississippi River. It's fed by two other rivers, the Missouri River and the Ohio River. So, when you go to the Mississippi River, are those Mississippi water molecules? Are there Ohio water molecules or Missouri River's molecules, you see? And tomorrow they'll all be merged in the Gulf of Mexico. So is that, what is that water? Is it Mississippi water, Ohio water, Missouri water, Gulf of Mexico water? It's the same water molecule, but it takes on different designations depending on where it's located. That same molecule in the Ohio River, oh, this is Ohio River water molecule, or this is Missouri River water molecule, or Gulf of Mexico river molecule. So in the same way, I'm thinking this is me. But actually it's kind of interesting, you know, just sitting here in this room, you know, I'm exhaling and inhaling, you're exhaling. We're actually switching bodies with each other as we sit in the room. But I thought was, I think it's me, it actually was you a few minutes ago. You see what I'm saying? We're just sitting here in this room, we're switching bodies with each other. Just by inhaling and exhaling. I walk out of this room with what you thought was you, now I think it's me. So in this way we have to have transcendental knowledge, you see, to understand this is not really me. I exist beyond this body. It's not difficult to understand. It's like I remember when I was a little kid, you know, 7 years old, 8 years old, living in one house in Kirkwood, Missouri. Two little kids were my neighborhood friends, Joni next door and Johnny across the street. You see? I can remember being in that 8-year-old body. You see? But where is that body? It's long gone. You see? But yet, the I, the self, was situated there in that 8-year-old kid's body. No, in the 70-year-old body. You see? But still, I remember him being in that 8-year-old body. So in this way, by simply a little thoughtful analysis, it's very easy to understand I am not this body. But yet the great leading scientists who are supposed to be enlightening us with all kinds of scientific knowledge, they can't understand these simple points. They have big, big PhDs, big, big Nobel laureates, big, big positions in big, big universities, but they can't even understand the most basic facts of life. You see? Therefore, the whole world is in turmoil, you see. People are crying, but they can't stand the leader, just like Trump. They want to dump Trump, you see. They're complaining every day, Trump did this, Trump did that, you see. People are not satisfied with the leaders, you see, because the leaders are not enlightened people like Maharaj Pariksit. There must be a class of personalities, brahmanas, who are enlightened with transcendental knowledge, who live the teachings of the Gita, with their every thought, their every word, their every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, and who teach that knowledge with great enthusiasm, determination, and patience to the illusion fools of this world, you see. That Brahmana class, we are missing it. Prabhupada has come to re-establish that class of brahmanas, learned transcendentalists, who can teach the political leaders, the educational leaders, the business leaders, the entertainment leaders, in all spheres, can teach all spheres of the society how to understand who I actually am. It's really common sense. If you don't know who you are, how can you really be what you're meant to be? And if you're not being what you're meant to be, how can you be satisfied? It's not possible to be satisfied. Therefore, they invent so many artificial means of satisfaction. Based on material sense gratification. But material sense gratification is not practical because it doesn't touch the self. If you're hungry and you put a banana in your pocket, does it satisfy your appetite? No. You have to put it in your belly. So in a similar way, all of their satisfaction is aimed simply at the material body. Therefore, nobody's satisfied. They even had that song when I was a kid, you know. I can't get no satisfaction. I'm going here, I'm going here, but I can't get no satisfaction. It's a big hit, because actually nobody's getting any satisfaction. That song really hit a nerve, because nobody's getting any satisfaction. You see? Nobody's getting any satisfaction. We're simply trying to imagine some kind of happiness, maya sukhaya, illusory happiness. And so I invent some artificial idea that if I can I can eat this or smoke this or have sex with that, it will make me happy, but it's an illusion. It's simply an illusion. They have illusion and confusion in profusion. That is the modern day society. Illusion and confusion in profusion. But we have the solution. You see, Bhagavad Gita. That is a great kindness. I really like this purport because Krishna is the master, but he's also the friend. Wouldn't it be nice to have as your master your best friend? And there's no problem. You see. He's your master, but he's also your best friend. No problem. You see? It's like some brahmachari goes to the temple, you know, you get a report to the temple president, but the temple president's your best friend, and you have no problem. Your brahmachari in the temple, the president's my best friend. I have no trouble, he's my best friend. So, so we have no trouble, really. There's no trouble at all to existence. If you're Krishna conscious, there's no difficulties. You know why we have difficulties, Prabhus and Manajis? Because we're not Krishna conscious, that's all. The only reason we have any difficulty at all, even the slightest tinge of difficulty, is simply because we are not yet fully awakened in Krishna consciousness. You think that after all these years, you know, here I've been going almost 50 years, you think that we'd be awakened fully by now, but well, we're still hanging on to this damn material consciousness. I don't know why we're doing this. Well, we've been habituated for millions and millions of lifetimes, you know. So it's understandable, you know. For millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions of lifetimes, we've been holding on to this false bodily conception as a Brahma, as an Indra Gopa, as a man, as a woman, as a demigod, as a snake, as an alligator, as a mouse, as a tree, as a mosquito. We've been hanging on to this false conception lifetime after lifetime. So it's logical that it would take us a while to, you know, come out of it. Even 50 years of chanting Hare Krishna is nothing compared to 50 quadrillions of lifetimes, you know, hanging on to the false bodily conception. But the beauty of it is we have our best friend on our side, you see. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita, I am the best friend. It's interesting, this word suhrit. In Sanskrit, there's different words for bandhu, mitra, suhrit. But break it down. Hrita is heart, you see. Suhrit, that one who is very, very dear to the heart. That is the best friend. So Krishna is not mitra or bandhu, he is suhrit. The most intimate friend, you see. The dear most intimate friend, Krishna. And he's our best friend. He's on our side, and the good thing is he's the supreme controller. Is he more powerful than the temple president? He's the supreme controller. He controls everything. Everything in the material world and the spiritual world is all acting and moving under his direction. In this very quarters here, a few feet away in Prabhupada's room, on his bed, right before he left his body, you've seen the video, he couldn't even sit up. He was still dictating his purport. So we've all seen the video. The microphone was at his mouth. He said, everything is acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So there it is. Prabhupada confirms. Everything's acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. Everything. There is nothing in all of existence that is not acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. See, if you get in tune with Krishna, you're in good shape. You just got to learn how to get in tune with Krishna. How to harmonize with him. Just like in music, you know, they have a choir, and they sing different notes, but they sing in harmony with each other. It's very beautiful when they sing in harmony. So the individual notes are there, but there's different notes, but they're in perfect harmony. They vibrate beautifully with each other. So in that way, we're like a chord. We're in accord with Krishna in two different ways. We're in accord with him, and also we're in accord with Krishna, A-C-C-O-R-D, in accord with Krishna. We're also in accord with C-H-O-R-D, with Krishna. You see, we're in accord with Krishna. He has his note, we have our note, and we're vibrating together, making a beautiful, beautiful sound. You see. So in this way, we just have to vibrate with Krishna, get tuned in. He's the one who sets the standard. Not that we set the standard, he gets in harmony with us. No, he sets the standard, we get in harmony with him. It reminds me when I was a kid, I was in the Westbury High School orchestra. I played the violin. And we had one kid, he was really, really good. His father was the conductor for the whole city of Houston. And he had if you know anything about violins, this boy had a Stradivarius violin, which is a very expensive, rare, from a classical Italian violin maker. This kid was really considered top-notch. He had a Stradivarius. He was what's called the first chair violin. So he would play a note, I think it was middle C, and the whole orchestra would tune to his violin, you see. Every instrument in the whole orchestra, the clarinets, the saxophone, the trumpets, all the violins, the cellos, the violas, the basses, the flutes, every instrument in the whole orchestra would tune into that one violin player's middle C note. So in the same way, Krishna is first chair. We all tune into him, you see. Then it becomes a beautiful symphony orchestra, you see. You have your role. We all have our different roles to play in the orchestra, you see. But we've all tuned into Krishna. Now, if you're out of tune, the conductor will go, boop, stop. You're out of tune. Now get in tune, you see. The conductor will stop the whole thing. Somebody's out of tune. The whole thing will stop, and they have to get in tune, and then it acts in tune, and the thing starts up again, you see. So Our position right now, us aspiring devotees, sadhaka bhaktas, is we're out of tune, we're trying to get in tune. That's why the spiritual master is there. He's there to help us get in tune. He's like the conductor. To help us get in tune. And we have all kinds of tuning facilities. Hare Krishna mantra is there. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have deity worship. We have the holy dhams. We have so many ways to get in tune. It's just phenomenal. I mean, it's just wonderful. We have sadhu sangha. We have guru seva. Just so many things to get in tune. The trick is you got to use everything at your disposal because we're really out of tune. Really badly out of tune. If we were in tune, we'd be seeing Krishna directly. You know that slow. Premanjana chalita bhakti valochanena santaksadai vrhida yeshu valokayanti yangshama shundarama chanjaganas varupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. Prabhupada said, not only do they see Krishna within, they see him without, externally also. You know what Prabhupada wrote me in one letter? He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Pretty heavy order from Prabhupada. Well, Prabhupada, I need your mercy. I got a long way to go, but I know by following you I'm going to get there. That day will come. Krishna revealed himself to me. I'll be able to see him directly. It's like I'm seeing you right now. I know by following my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, that day will come. I will see Krishna just like I'm seeing you right now. I'll see him. So, that I'm not seeing him yet means I got a way to go. Got a way to go. I shouldn't think I'm a pure devotee yet. I'm aspiring to be a pure devotee, but got a long way to go, y'all. Long way to go. But even after almost 50, I started in 71, so that's how many? Almost 50 years, isn't it? So, you say, wouldn't you think it'd be discouraging then? I mean, you've been doing it almost 50 years and you haven't seen Krishna yet. I mean, wouldn't you be discouraged? Someone could ask, you see. But the fact is that it's so enlivening. Even though I'm not seeing Krishna yet, I'm feeling how I'm making progress every day, you see. Every day I can see how I'm making progress, you see. The lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, the envy, the laziness, the craziness, you see. Those things are going gradually down, 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 down. And that's pretty enlivening, you see. It's pretty damn enlivening. When you see the anarthas are going down, down, just gradually going down, you see. It's a whole new world. It's just like you go to see the sunrise and they don't see the sun. But what do you see? You see the brilliance of the sun starting to manifest, even though the sun globe has not yet appeared. The sun, the brightness is starting to manifest on the eastern horizon. You see. So if one is serious about Krishna consciousness, even though we're not seeing Krishna yet, we're starting to see the effect of Krishna's presence in our lives. You see what I'm saying? The ignorances are going away, becoming more attached to Krishna, more attached to Krishna's name, more attached to Krishna's devotees, more attached to this knowledge, more attached to seeing prasadam as the unbelievably sublime mercy of Krishna. You see? It's called Namabhas stage of chanting. It's not Shudanam, Namabhas. It's not Namaparad, it's not Shudanam, it's in the middle. You see, Namabhas. I'm feeling something happening within me. I'm feeling a transformation of my consciousness. So that's pretty enlivening. And that can even carry us through our whole life, you see. We may even leave our bodies not having seen Krishna yet, but then after we leave, we'll see Krishna. After we leave the body, then we will see Krishna. Prabhupada one time said, go to sleep and wake up with Krishna. Pretty amazing, wouldn't it? Just go to sleep. Okay, 85 years, 95 years, time, a little tired now, time to take some rest. Krishna. Or what if I have to take breath again? As long as in Lord Chaitanya's mission, that's cool. Take breath as a karmi, that would be bad. But if I can, even if I can take breath again to continue serving Prabhupada's mission, that would be okay. I see. Because that means I'm making further and further progress, becoming more and more enlightened, more and more enlivened. Much chitta bhagata prana bodhiyantak padaspadam katiyantashtanam yajyam tashyantacha brahmantacha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. I take this as the greatest blessing to be asked to give this class today, you see. If I sit and read by myself, well, it's nice. If we sit and study together here in Vrindavan, where everything's magnified 1,000 times, with a whole room full of devotees who are serious about cultivating pure love of God, this is very powerful. I'm very much blessed to have this opportunity. To Mother Parvati, the coordinator of this program, I think she's watching. I want to thank you, Mother Parvati, for being so kind to invite me here. This is a great, great blessing upon me. You blessed me greatly, Mother Parvati. Thank you very much. All good health and longevity to you. So we have a few minutes left. I could entertain some questions. Y'all have any questions? Be happy to try to answer them. There's a brahmachari back there, yes? Let me get my hearing aid. I'm a little deaf, so I'll get my hearing aid amp cranked up here. Somebody may repeat it for me. Maybe the mic will help me. We'll see.
When you were describing Prabhupada, is that material or spiritual? Because Namabhas is the transcendental platform, I think.
What about, you're asking about the Namabhas stage? Is it transcendental?
We're in the Namabhas stage. It's transcendental.
At least I am. I mean, you may be liberated. You may be liberated. You may be.
Is all material if you just have an office.
What's he saying?
Anartana vritti is material or spiritual if you haven't noticed. Anartana vritti.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Prabhu?
The happiness you're describing that we want to experience, is it material or spiritual?
The happiness you're describing, is it material or spiritual?
Our happiness, being neophytes like me, we have a mixture of spiritual. We have spiritual happiness and material happiness and distress. That's my level. I got some spiritual happiness, and I have material happiness and material distress. I got three things on my level. You see? There's material happiness.
It says in the Namabhas
stage.
In
the Namabhas stage?
Yeah.
Well, the Namabhas, you're asking, is it material happiness experience in Namabhas? Namabhas means you're not Shuddha yet, you're not completely purified yet, but you're getting there. The sun hasn't risen yet on the eastern horizon, but the effects of that soon to be rising sun are starting to manifest. So that means your nartas are going away. They're fading away. You see, your nartas are fading away, and this new thing called Krishna Bhakti is starting to take over everything. That's Namabhas.
Otherwise, we're equipoised in happiness and distress.
Otherwise, we're equipoised in happiness and distress.
Yeah, in the Namabhas stage, one is very, very equipoised. To the extent that we're not equipoised, we're still battling it out with the anarthas. Sometimes we're equipoised, sometimes we're not. We neophytes. Sometimes we're feeling very equipoised, sometimes we're very agitated, isn't it? Maybe not you, but I know myself. Sometimes I'm very agitated. Because I'm still fighting it out with the anarthas. But as one becomes more and more conquering over those anarthas, then you become more and more equipoised. Isn't it?
We'll be disturbed in the mode of goodness if we see, if we experience tamagun as we fight against.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be disturbed in the mode of goodness if we're in tamagun. You'll be disturbed in the mode of goodness if you're in tamagun.
If you're in tamagun, you're not in the mode of goodness.
If you experience tamagun,
Prabhupada explains in the mode of goodness there are tinges of passion and ignorance still there, you see. The material mode of goodness has tinges of passion and ignorance mixed in. When those tinges are gone, then you achieve shuddha, the pure stage, shuddha-sattva stage. The material mode of goodness still has passion and ignorance mixed in. So, that's our position, at least my position, you see. I'm developing the mode of goodness, but that passion and ignorance is still bothering me sometimes, you see. But as I progress more and more, those botherations of passion and ignorance will become less and less and less. And finally that golden day will come. Shuddha-sattva will come, pure bhakti. I live for that day, I beg for that day. Every day I'm begging. We have a special prayer to beg for that. You know that? Everybody know that prayer? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please, my dear Mother Radharani, and please, my dear Krishna, please bless me with pure bhakti. Please bless me with pure bhakti.
We were all given that opportunity when we were initiated, right? Mamsha, your Brahmacharya, immediately become transcendental.
We're given that opportunity for initiation.
Yes. Those who take their initiation vows seriously will achieve the perfection of Shuddha Bhakti, pure love of God. If one takes his initiation vows seriously, and we have a very bad fatality rate. I mean, so many people don't do it. They get initiated and they go back away into Maya. But, I mean, I think about the people I joined with. And as a young brahmachari in 71, most of them are gone. I can think of so many godbrothers gone, finished. When I see a godbrother, I become very happy. When I see a godbrother, I become so enlivened, you see. Oh, somebody's still here. One of the oldies, one of the boys from the old days, he's still here. One of the godbrothers is still here. I worship them, they're my godbrothers, you see. And those who have stayed, they're worshipable deities for me, practically speaking. Is it? Anyone else have questions? Yes.
I just a comment. Just when you were speaking that 50 years you are still in the movement, but still we don't feel that we are perfect.
But still?
50 years we've been in the movement, but we still, he feels he's not perfect.
Yes, that spiritual perfection is not easy to achieve after millions of lifetimes of trying to be the enjoyer, you know, running after women or running after men, depending on our gender. I mean, we've been really caught up for millions and billions of lifetimes. It's not an easy thing to all of a sudden get out of that, you see. But if one is determined and dedicated in one lifetime, you can do it.
And Prabhupada gave one example, just like a young boy and young girl, they are attracted to each other and they don't see anything else, they just we attract to each other. And similarly, if we do same thing, attract to Krishna, then we cannot go anywhere.
Yeah, Prabhupada says we have to be like a young, just like a young boy and a young girl, and naturally attracted. Once they attain puberty, boys are attracted to girls, and girls are attracted to boys. So, in the same spontaneous way, we have to become attracted to Krishna. That's a thing. And when you become attracted to Krishna, sex desire no longer appeals. That very nice shloka by Jamanacharya Albandru: Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde nava nava rasa damunjatarantumasit tadavadi bhattanari sangame smaryamane bhavati muku nishti vanamcha. Ever since I've been engaged in the chanting of loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, tasting nava nava rasa, ever increasing pleasure in that service, I mean, ever due to my past bad habits, I think about sex. My lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. It's a beautiful verse. He was formerly a king, and the king had, those days, kings had huge harems, hundreds of girls, and they could enjoy all of them. It was very attractive for lusty persons. But he gave all that up and became a great sadhu. And sometimes those memories would come back to him. He would spit at the thought. So we have to be good, we have to learn how to be good spitters. Not literally, we have brahmacharis with spittoons in the temple room spitting during japa, but we all have to spit within our minds, you see. Those dirty thoughts come. Mentally, we have to spit at those damn things, you see. You don't spit at the women, you spit at the thought of enjoying them, you see what I'm saying? They're our mothers, we don't spit at our mothers. We spit at the thought of trying to enjoy them sexually. You see?
So our only difficulty is that we are diverted in so many different ways.
Hmm? The only difficulty is that we have what?
Diverted.
Devoided. Or
diverted.
Diverted. Diverted our bhakti. The only difficulty is we have diverted from Krishna.
Diverting to Krishna is the supreme perfection.
That's the problem.
Our minds are diverted, that's a thing. Yatau yata nishchalati manna shantadamastadam tatastata nayayam yatatatma vivisham nayayam. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unnecessary nature, must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. It's like a naughty kid running here, running there. We'd be like a good mother, you see, keep that kid under control. You see, with a real art, that's how you become an advanced devotee. You have to learn how to keep your mind under control. If you do that, you become a very advanced devotee very quickly. If you keep your mind from running here and running there, you see, bring it back to Krishna, back to Krishna, back to Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
Just a quote from Bhakti Srivadamodar Maharaj's book, Vedanta and Science of Aging.
Science of Aging?
Yeah. Vedanta and the Science of Aging is a book by His Holiness Bhakti Srivadamodar Maharaj. And he's quoting Richter, and this is in relationship to old age and the benefits of old age. As winter strips the leaves from around us so that we may see the distant regions they formerly concealed. So old age takes away our enjoyments only to enlarge the prospect of the coming eternity.
Old age is a great blessing, but the trouble is the old people meditate on their youth. That's the difficulty. We have to, old age is a great blessing, but if you just meditate on your sense gratification of your younger days, I was doing this, I was doing that, then that's the problem. But if you're Krishna conscious, old age is a fantastic blessing. It's a great, it's the greatest blessing to be old, you see.
Become humbled.
It's a great blessing. 70 years old, 80 years old, imagine being 95. How about 100? Whew, that'd be something. 100-year-old brahmachari, you know. It'd be a great inspiration for everyone. You see, 100-year-old brahmachari chanting his rounds with enthusiasm. The whole movement would be enlivened, you see that. Okay, so we'll go ahead and stop here, and we thank you all so much for tuning in. Please take this process very seriously, and very soon you will see Krishna face to face. Hare Krishna.